This is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com. It's great to be with you today. This is another installment on the subject of the state of the dead. Now, the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek, not English, and it's foolish to bolster up arguments and doctrines based off words in a translation when they do not agree with Hebrew or Greek. So we are going to review two words in the original languages as they occur in the Scriptures. We will not rely solely on definitions given in lexicons, but from the usage of the words in the Scriptures. The first word I want to look at is the Hebrew word abad, A-B-A-D, forgive my pronunciation. It is translated perish, destroy, be lost, and other similar ways. In Numbers 16:33, Korah and his company went down alive into the pit, and they perished from among the congregation. They went down to the pit not to stay alive there, but to die an uncommon death. This is how they perished. In Jonah 1:14, the sailors who were in danger of drowning from the storm because of Jonah said, "Let us not perish for this man's life." They were not speculating about some after-death experience, but they knew what their immediate problem was, death by drowning. Later, Jonah himself prepared a gourd that perished. The gourd had withered and died, and as far as its purpose was concerned, it was the same as if it had been destroyed by fire. In Deuteronomy 11:4, we read about how the Red Sea destroyed Pharaoh and his army. They were destroyed even though their bodies were lying on the shore. Now notice I have not used the word annihilation. That word is used by those who want to slander the truth about death in the Scriptures in order to cling to their own traditions. The dead bodies were there on the shore, but life, conscious being, enmity or love, sorrow or joy were gone. As conscious beings, they were destroyed even though their bodies were on the shore. There are many other references, but look up this word on your own. So Korah and his company, the sailors, Jonah's gourd, and Pharaoh and his army are enough to show us how God uses the word. As is the case with all languages, words do have secondary meaning, but these secondary meanings can never lessen the bearing of the primary sense or alter the original force of a word. Keep that in mind. Psalm 146:4 reads, "His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish." Never-ending torments and a deathless state are utterly foreign to the meaning of the word abad. John 3:16 is so often quoted but rarely believed. We see it at football games and all kinds of events, but it's never believed. For in John 3:16, the alternative to aeonian life or everlasting life is perishing. How often this is twisted? I saw a so-called gospel tract add to John 3:16 by putting in parenthesis after the word perish, burn in hell forever. This was about as a childish addition to God's word as the drawings contained in the tract. Adding to the word of God is a serious offense. One more word I want to quickly look at is the Hebrew word shamad, S-H-A-M-A-D. It is translated destroy 66 times and be overthrown and even perish. Abad was primarily perish, shamad is destroy. Psalm 145:20, all the wicked will he destroy. Jacob in Genesis 34:30, fearing for his family, said, "I shall be destroyed." So in conclusion, the usage of these two words confirms that the wages of sin is death, not life in another place, good or bad. The idea of eternal conscious suffering is foreign to these words. Man-made definitions are all contaminated by traditions, and we have no regard or respect for them. We will not yield in subjection to tradition for 1 hour, but we raise the black flag when it comes to this truth. No quarter for the lie. More to come on this topic, so stay tuned. This is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com.